Amen. 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 This morning I want to speak on the subject of turning points. Turning points. In life, we go through different stages and seasons of life. And many times we end up one place and not knowing how we got there, but we're there. And God uses these moments and these times, these defining moments in our life, and they become turning points. Where we may have been going in one way and thinking one way and doing on one course, and God changes our direction. We never asked him to change it. He just changed it. Come on, sometimes we live in life and things just happen. Come on, we don't plan it. We didn't put it on our calendar. It wasn't in the agenda. We just woke up the next day and there it was. Come on, a turning point. Come on, something different that happens in our life. And yet we're still obligated to live it out. Amen? Come on, we can't change it. We can't change the channel and say, well, we don't like that station. I don't like this show. Let's turn a different show. No, we have to keep it on that channel until God changes the channel. Amen? Come on, we get to turning points in our life. And many times we don't know how to comprehend them, but we still have an obligation to live through them. Amen? Come on, it may not have been what I expected. It may not would have been what I bargained for, but still yet God knew what I can handle, so he gave it to me. Come on, some of you right now are going through turning points and difficult seasons and challenging seasons in your life. And each decision, each choice that you make takes you to another place. And sometimes you acknowledge it, sometimes you don't. But we end up certainty in a turning point in our life. And we have to know that God knows where we are. Many times we end up in these places because he orchestrated it. He allowed it to be in our lives. Come on, we might be looking at it as, man, this messed up. Man, this is tragic. Man, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But God said, just come on, my child. I need you right here. Come on, this is going to work for your good. I know you in trouble and you feel like you're troubled about it, but don't worry about it. I'm going to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen? Come on, sometimes we just need to lean on the rock. Amen? And not on our own understanding. Come on, give it to God. Sometimes we're holding too much stuff. We're allowing this stuff to heap on us and to hold on to us, and we can't shake it. We can't get rid of it. And God said, just give it to me. You've been holding on it too long. You've been going through it in your own strength. Give it to me. Come on, the Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but it is by God's Spirit. Come on, many times we just need to give way to the Spirit of God. Come on, if you could change it, you would have changed it. If you could fix it, you would have fixed it. But because it's in God's hand, and that's the best place for it to be, come on, that's where we're going to leave it. Amen? Come on, we have an interesting text today. And I believe this text really can speak to a lot of our hearts. Because I want to break it down a little bit. A lot of times we look at God and we want miracles. And this is a miracle, of course. And this is outstanding. And this what God gives us in this text. It can really blow our minds. But really, God wants to do this kind of thing in our life. God knows where we are. And he knows where to find us. Come on, we might be thinking we somewhere and God said he shows up in our life. Come on, because he's interested in taking us to a place where it's a turning point. Come on, our challenge is we like to do business as usual. A little bit too much. Come on, it's the same way, the same day. The same old time. Come on, God's just saying, I can change it in your life. Come on, just give him an opportunity to be God. Come on, and you need to come off the throne and put him back where he belongs. Come on, it's often the case that we don't choose these events that happen in our life. Come on, sometimes events choose us. I don't know how I got here. God chose me for this. I didn't choose him. Come on, let's get it right. Sometimes we think, well, I made this choice and I made this decision. No, you didn't. God set you up. You made the choice because you ain't have no choice. Amen? Y'all will get that in a minute. Come on, I wanted to be here, but not this way. Amen? I wanted it to happen like this, but not like that. Amen? Come on, sometimes we end up places we don't know how we got there, but God knows how to put us where we need to be. Amen? Come on, we are all given turning points in our life as individuals, as a congregation. Come on, there are things that are released. Even as just as small as our children coming up here worshiping and singing, that can be released in the atmosphere, that can be a turning point. Come on, it could be somebody here saying, well, I can't sing, I can't do nothing, and then got encouraged because they seen these kids use their gifts. Come on, it's a turning point. Come on, we don't know how God's going to use any event in our life to make it a turning point in our lives. Come on, it is up to us to make sure we keep looking for God and making sure we don't miss God moments and then look back later and say, well, that was God. Yeah, it was. Trying to get you to a turning point, to a place where he can bless your life instead of you just going on with your life. Come on, God chooses that. And sometimes we only notice them in hindsight after it already has occurred, after it's already happening, and we don't see the hand of God in it. But we have to understand there's some things that God always wants to do in our life. Amen? Come on, we just have to look for the turning points. Come on, I know you're used to doing it this way all the time. I know you're used to it happening this way all the time. And I know I'm going to get it like this way. But God's interested in changing things and taking you to a turning point in your life. Come on, sometimes we become, instead of taking ownership, we get territorial on things. And God said, you're the steward of everything, but we are really the owners of nothing. Come on, you came into this world with nothing, and surely you're going. You ain't jumping in that casket saying, give me this. You ain't doing it. You came into this world with nothing, and that's the way we going. Leave it. But it is up to us to make sure we live with good stewardship. Come on, I told Flo, on my tombstone, I want the day I was born and the day I die. But in the middle, I want a cloud. I don't want a dash. Because a dash means you run for a little while and it's over. No, give me a cloud in the middle. Because I don't know how the wind going to take me. I don't know how the spirit going to lead me. But he did it for all those years. Amen? Amen. Come on, so make sure she get a cloud on there. Amen. Did you get the cloud, Sister Flower? Come on, it's a turning point. It's having an understanding and an intellect to know where God is moving and where he's taking us. Come on, sometimes we're so mundane in life and we're just going through the motions. Get up, go to work, watch a little bit of TV, go to bed. Get up, go to work, come home, watch a little TV, go to bed. Come on, we become mundane. We become mechanical sometimes in a lot of ways because we are not living life. We're just existing in life. Come on, God wants to challenge us because there are turning points in our life where he doesn't leave us where he finds us. And believe me, he's looking for you where he can find you. He don't want to leave us where we are. He don't want to leave us struggling. He don't want to leave us looking and searching. He want to make sure we are founded and grounded in his word so that he can bless our life. It is important to God to use our life. We are his glory. Come on, when they see us, they see his glory. They see his hand upon our life. Come on, God don't want to see us struggling and see us in dismay and out of character. No, he wants us to be in the fruitful land. And living in the right way, in the right place. And many times it requires turning points in our life. Come on, don't leave it the same way you found it. Come on, I want to look at our text today. There's a few things I want to bring out before I close. And I know there's some notes that I want you to take here. If you're taking notes, I may not have them in number because I wrote them down here. But the first thing I want us to know that wherever the word of God is being preached, something always happens. Come on, we got to be expecting. Come on, whenever the word is being preached, something always happens. Come on, Mark chapter 2, you can turn there, you can write it down. Mark chapter 2, Jesus is in a house. And the house is packed because he's preaching the word of God. Come on, there should be an expectation when we come in to hear the preached word of God. Come on, it might not be about no eloquency of speech because I might miss a word or something. But it's got to be a demonstration of the Spirit that God can reach in, touch your heart, speak to you right where you are and change your life. Come on, we don't come and sometimes and looking for God to move in a miraculous way. For when I'm hurting, yeah, I need you, God. But what about when everything good? You got money in the bank, everybody good, treat you right. Come on, can you steal in and come in and give God all you got? Well, I loved it when he sung the song. He said, this ain't no ordinary prayer. I'm going to give him all I got while I can. Come on, because when it's over, I don't have nothing left to give. So guess what? Right now, I'm going to give what I got to give. Amen? Come on, we can't just take it easy and take it lightly. And I see you next week. You might not see me next week. You might not. So guess what? Let's give it all we got right now. Let's see God's glory show up in the place right now. Come on, if you need a miracle, get your miracle today. Come on, if you need a breakthrough, get your breakthrough today. Come on, if you need a healing, get your healing today. Come on, don't just leave it. Don't come and leave the same way you came. Come on, let God do it in this season, in this moment. His anointing is here. His presence is here. It's what we want out of it. Come on, expectation is the womb of every miracle. Come on, what are you expecting? Come on, can God change your expectations? Can God deal with your mind? Can he break through the stumbling blocks? Can he get you to a place where you can receive his word with meekness and gladness of heart? Come on, what can God do in our life to change us, to make it supernatural for us? Come on, it's no more church as usual, business as usual. Just sing your song. Somebody say amen. Somebody pray, and let's end it that way. No, 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 no. Let's do it something different. Let's get in the presence of God. Let's let God break some chains and deliver some people. And let some yokes be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, we don't know what people need. We don't know what's on people's mind. All we know is that we're in the presence of God. And wherever the word is being preached, something should happen. Amen? Come on, people should be getting saved. People should be getting set free. Come on, people should be getting lifted and coming in peace. Amen. I may have come in trouble, but I'm leaving out with peace because of the presence of God in my life. Come on, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And God challenges us to live in that liberty. Amen. Come on, we got too much bondage. We got too many yokes. We got too many things holding us back. And God said, I got something for you that's going to liberate you. That's going to free your mind. That's going to free your soul. Amen. Come on, make you better than you ever was. Amen. Because the word is being preached. Amen. Come on, we ain't just coming for a poem and a point. I want to hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to my heart. I can read it, God, but I need you to speak it to my heart. Amen. Change me. Give me new direction. Give me new life where I am. I need you, Lord. Come on, wherever the word is being preached, there's got to be an expectation. Come on, the atmosphere has got to be pregnant. Something's about to break loose. Somebody about to dance. Somebody about to clap their hands. They don't do nothing else. They're going to clap their hands. They're going to lift their hands to the Lord. Say, God, I'm here. Do what you want to do in me, God. I've been broken. I've been cast down. I've been mistreated. I've been neglected, but I'm here now in your presence. Do what you want with me, God. Come on, something's got to break free in the atmosphere. Come on, when the presence of God is here, when we worship like we worship, and we invite God's presence, say, come have your way. The Holy Spirit's at work. He wants to move in our lives so that we don't just come in one way and leave out the same way that we came in. Amen? Come on, we got to challenge the Spirit of God. We got to make sure we put a demand on the anointing. I know the Spirit of God is here, but I demand, come on, God, you do it in my life right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, sometimes we don't want to talk to God, but sometimes we need to just talk to God like that. God, do it in my life. Change me. Rearrange my thoughts right now in the name of Jesus. I need you more than yesterday, more than these songs we sing, more than this thing I hear. I need you, Lord God, in my life. Come on, we got to come with a different expectation. When the word of God is being preached, supernatural things happen. Come on, four men jumped up on a roof with a paralytic man and started tearing the roof off because they heard that the man was in the house preaching. So they started to tear the roof off and said, we're going to tear the roof off because if we can get him to Jesus, we know he's going to be all right. Come on, sometimes we don't have that same kind of drive, that same kind of expectation. Come on, oh, I'm going to church. You going to church? I don't know. You going? I don't know. Come on, let's get there. Let's get there. Come on, I can't wait to get there because Jesus is there. Come on, the Lord is there. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Come on, there's the presence of God. There's the power of God. Come on, there's the potential for my situation to change in my life. Come on, all I need is one touch from the Master. And my life can be changed. Come on, there's got to be a different expectation when the Word of God's being preached. Come on, some people say, I don't even have my Bibles. Yeah, I say that all the time because the least you can have is your Bible. Amen. You came to church to read the Word of God so that He can speak to our lives. Come on, this should be a turning point. Come on, each week for my life, I want it to be a turning point. Come on, somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get healed. Somebody's going to get delivered. Somebody's going to get set free. Somebody's life's about to change. Somebody broke, busted, and disgusted. But their life about to change right now in the name of Jesus. Because this is a turning point for your life. Come on, don't come in one way dismayed and leave out the same way. Come on, wherever the Word of God is being preached, something always happens. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, what's about to happen? What's about to happen? What's about to happen? Sometimes we just don't change up enough and do something different, sit somewhere different. Come on, talk to somebody different. Come on, go come to church a different way. Do something different and watch God work in it. Amen. Amen. Come on, because wherever God's preaching, come on, something always happens. Come on, He just wanted His boat to preach to the people. He was tired of standing. Let me sit down and ride in this boat for a little while. And when He finished preaching, something happened. They wasn't expecting nothing to happen. They were just getting a good sermon. Amen. Come on, we need to understand people weren't just following Jesus for His sermons. Sometimes it was about the fishes and loaves. Sometimes it was about the miracles. Sometimes it was about what God was about to do that hadn't been done before. Amen. Come on, sometimes you didn't know what to do, who was going to get delivered, what demon was going to get chased out of there. We don't know what's about to happen. But I come expecting God do something in the name of Jesus. Come on, they didn't know what was about to happen. Come on, Simon was just fishing, been fishing all night. And he caught nothing. And hear this man saying, go back out. You was all right if you want to just use the boat because that don't require no work. We just go out and we just row out a little further. But now you talk about going out the deep. See, sometimes God calls us to go a little further and go a little deeper. We sing this song, I want to go higher. I want to go deeper. I want to go further. All that's saying, because God sometimes want to take you beyond where you are. Sometimes we just comfortable. I'm good in my space, in my place. And God said, go a little bit further. Go out a little deeper. Come on, take a risk. Take a chance. I know you figured you doing it good your way, but go a little further and go a little deeper. Come on, God takes us that way. And the second thing I notice about this text is not only does something happen when the word is being preached, is that God cares about your business. He cares about our business. I know we come in and we want the signs and wonders, clean me up, touch my mind, heal my body. But you know what? God cares about our business. Even when we don't think about Peter, Simon wasn't thinking about his business. He was thinking about just requests. What you asking of me, Jesus? Go out into the deep and cast my net. I've been fishing all night. And we caught nothing. And now you're asking me to go back out? See, what I learned about this is that God, He cares about our business. When it's going good, and even when it's not. He cares about our business. Simon had no idea what was about to happen in his life. Come on, so what changed the game is that he said these words. He said, never the less. Come on, that's the game changer, amen? Amen. If you have the NIV Bible, it says, whatever you say, I'll do it. Whatever you say, I will do it. That's the game changer. See, Jesus was already intent on what he wanted to do. And Peter already, and Simon already made his decision about what was about to happen because he had already did it his way and thought it was no other way. Much like we do. I done it my way, but that really wasn't the way. I did it like this, well, that God wanted to change it. And he said to Simon, throw out your nets. For a catch. And Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Come on, that's a powerful verse of scripture. See, the third thing is, don't let your doubts steal your blessings. See, in a moment, he had some doubts because he thought the way he did it was right. And if he couldn't do it the way he did it that was right, it couldn't work no other way. And many times that's the block in our minds and in how we live our lives. That when we think it's the way we've done it and it don't work like that, then there ain't no other way. That we've done it all in our own strength and it can't work no other way. Come on. And all we're doing is we're letting doubt steal our blessing. Come on, Peter could have stayed right where he was and said, you know what, I know this, I'm a professional at this. You don't know nothing, we ain't even never met you. We don't even know you like that. You got some good teaching, but I don't know you like that. I'm the fisherman here. Come on, electricians don't call me for nothing. Come on, computer whizzes don't call me for, they don't call me for nothing. Because they figure I don't know nothing. Stay in your lane. That's what they say. Stay in your lane. Just stay in your lane. And Peter dealing with this thought mentality. This stay in your lane mentality. Come on. This I got this mentality. Come on. This pride before your fall mentality. I got this. I'm running this day. Come on. We got to give way so that we do not allow doubt to steal our blessings. Come on, sometimes we think we know so much. And my mother used to say, you're too big for your britches. Amen? You think you know too much. No. We have to humble ourselves and allow the mighty hand of God to exalt us. Come on, so that we don't allow our doubt and our way of thinking to steal our blessings. Amen? Come on, Peter, Simon almost got in his own way. And sometimes we do that. We almost get in our own way. We want to make our choices. We want to make our decisions. And sometimes God's saying, go out a little deeper. Do what I say do. And you're like, oh, no, about that. I got this figured out, Lord. I got this figured out. I know I ain't talking about none of y'all. I'm just rehearsing for myself. I'm rehearsing for myself. I got this figured out, Lord. And we put God in our little box, in our little bottle, and we got him. And every time we want to rub it, say, here come Genie to the bottle right now. Because that's where we put God. And really, God is the control of everything. But we put him in a little bottle. And think every time we rub the bottle, here come the Genie to fix my problems. To change things. To rearrange things. And God says, I'll never be a Genie in a bottle. You can't figure me out right now. You'll never figure me out. Come on. We cannot allow the stumbling block of our doubt and unbelief to keep us from the way God wants to bless your life. Come on. God wants to enlarge your territory. He wants to do new things in your life. He wants to expand where you are. And sometimes we put him in the confinement. And we limit God. And God's saying, don't let doubt steal your blessings. Numbers chapter 11. The Israelite children had an opportunity to go into the promised land. And for the life of them, they couldn't figure out how we're going to defeat these giants. How we're going to overcome these obstacles. Look at the fruit. Look at, there's giants in the land. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? And what happened is they let their doubt and their unbelief of what God could do in their life steal their blessing. Come on, don't let the enemy steal your blessing. Come on, don't let doubt and unbelief creep into your heart. Well, it can't be done like this. We can't work it like this. Oh, yes, we can. If God be for us, it don't matter who is against us. Amen. Come on, we're doing this for the Lord. This ain't got nothing to do with me. You can take my name down. You can call somebody else. It don't have nothing. This is about the Lord. Amen. Come on, when we learn to do it for God, then we can put ourselves out the way. And then we don't have the stumbling block of our doubt and our unbelief and our thought patterns hindering us from what God wants to do in our life. Come on, he almost messed up big time. Because he thought the way he did it was the way it could be done. And if it can't be done this way, then it can't be done. Come on, I know that's not y'all. I know that's not y'all. But sometimes we get stuck. If it can't be done this way, then it can't be done. Come on. And so many times God's really out there to prove your mind. Because you think you've got it all figured out. You think you've got the remedy to the solution. And God said, nah, this is not the way you're going to do it. This is not the way you're going to do it. Come on, God cares about our business. Come on, the disciples was in fret. How are we going to pay our taxes? How are we going to pay our taxes? He said, go to the fish. There's going to be some money in his mouth. Why? Because God cares about your business. Come on, God knows how to take care of our needs. Come on, he meets us every place, every time of where we are. Come on, sometimes it's scary to get out there and launch out into the deep. Come on, I remember starting a business and Flo was pregnant and we already had two kids and we had somebody else living in our house and they laid me off. And we fretted. I'm like, what are we going to do now? How are we going to eat? How are we going to take care? Come on. Sometimes we get in a place that's unfamiliar. Sometimes we get in a place where, God, you said start this business. You said do this. And it's not until sometimes we get to that place where it's not about us and my thinking, how I'm going to figure it out and how we're going to make this work and how we're going to make that work. And still we give it all to God. Come on. It ain't work that way, but it sure will work his way. Amen. Come on, he gave us something to do. He gave us a plan of action. And guess what? When you follow his plan, he's going to take care of your business. Amen? Give me some more. Please, thank you. He's going to take care of your business. Amen? Come on, look at the text again. Peter says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught what? That means we done been through the motions. And a lot of times in our life, we go through the motions and feel like, you know what? Ain't nothing else we can do. And we throw our hands up and we walk away from it. And God said, no, 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 no. Give way to my word. And Peter did that. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will. Come on, look at somebody, look at your neighbor and say, I will. I will. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. I will. See, that's why sometimes that's our biggest stumbling block. Is we hearers of the word, but we're not always. I'm glad y'all got that. Because that's all Peter said. I will. He heard it, and even though it didn't agree with what he wanted to do, he still said, you know what? I ain't going to do me. I'm going to do you. I will. And sometimes that's the difference in our life. That's the turning point where we can say, you know what? I always usually do me. I do my thoughts. I do what I heard. I do what feel good. And I don't always do what you say do. But at this moment was a turning point for Simon. He said, nevertheless, I will. And many times for us, we don't do that. We don't have that turning point. And God's waiting on the turning point where you can say to him in any situation, you know what? I got my thoughts. And I feel like I don't agree with what I heard. But nevertheless, I will. Come on, look at somebody and say, I will. I will. Come on. Come on. That's the difference. That's the difference in still going through the motions, still having an empty boat, still struggling in your business, is because you did not have a nevertheless in your heart. And say, you know what, God? I know I've been doing it this way. But nevertheless, I will. Come on, I'm attentive to hear what God has to say. Because he may need want to change my direction. I may think this is the way to go. This is the way to do it. And God said, nah, not like that. So I got to be sensitive enough and discerning enough to say, you know what? Okay, I hear you, God. So nevertheless, I will. May not want to, because I've been doing this all night. But you said do it this way. So nevertheless, not what I want to do, but I will. Come on, we heard Jesus say it. He really want to go to Golgotha. He want to climb up on that cross. He said, if it's another way, can we do it another way? But nevertheless, if you say so, I will. Come on, somebody say, I will. Come on, that's the key to unlocking some blessings in our life. Where we can get a place in our life where we may disagree in our human nature. We may disagree in our mindset. But in my heart of heart, nevertheless, God, it don't matter whatever I feel, I will. I do it just the way you say do it. I will do it. Come on. And isn't Simon glad that he did? It was a turning point. Let me tell you, church, we all get to that place. It's a turning point in our life. Where we can understand what God is saying and say, you know what? I don't agree with it, God. But I will. Come on, Simon, it was exposed to him in his obedience to God, the greatness of what God could do in his life when he surrendered. And many times that's all it's about, is surrendering our will. I got this. Before we hear that all the time, I got this. Ain't got nothing. I got this. Well, every time I hear that, oh, man, we're going to stay raggedy. We're going to stay raggedy. I got it. Oh, Lord, please don't have it. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Because the more we have it, the less he has it. Hear me, church. The more we have it, the less he has it. Come on, sometimes we want to hold on to stuff. And manipulate things the way we want them to be manipulated. And we ain't fixed nothing yet. Ain't nothing no more the better because you manipulated it. Because you entangled it the way you want. It ain't better. You think it is because you want it to work. Come on, it's like these teams that draft these bad players. They sorry as I don't know what. But because they drafted them, they hold on to them for years. Oh, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. He's sorry. Cut him. Cut him. He ain't going to work. You will see that. And they hold on to him. Why? Because of pride. I picked him. He's my guy. Then they end up what? Getting rid of both of them. Amen. They get rid of both of them. Come on. Sometimes we just got to let it go. Hard as it may be, let it go. Let it go. Come on, some of the arguments we get into, some of the difficulties we have is because we won't let stuff go. I'm still trying to hold on to it. It's over. It's 10 years later. Get over it. And you still hold it. Come on, when are we going to just what? Let it go. Come on, we got bumper stickers. Let go and let God. And we ain't letting go of nothing. Holding on to it for dear life. I'ma hold on. Well, some people don't get rid of nothing. They got stuff in their house for 50 years. What you gonna do with it? At least give it a good will. Do something with it. Let it go. It can do somebody else some good. If you just what? Let it go. But nah, we gonna hold. I got this. Oh, Lord, watch that, watch that. Come on, God cares about our business. He cares about our business. And we cannot let our doubt steal our blessings. Come on, because the fourth point here is our obedience is greater than any sacrifice. Sometimes we look at the sacrifice, what I got to give up. Come on, some people don't get involved with church and ministry because they don't want to make the sacrifice. we can boil it down to a lot of things, proximity, time, ability. But the reality is, it's the sacrifice. What am I willing to give God? And sometimes that's our biggest challenge. We want from God what we're not willing to give. I want to be blessed, but you won't bless God. I want to be at peace, but you won't be peaceful. Come on, we want what we're not willing to give. And God said, we got to be willing to give what we want to see. Come on, the scripture says, Luke 6:38, give, and then what? Shall we give it to you? Come on, he can't make it no plainer than that. If you give it, it's going to come back to you. Come on, if you can make sure you're loving on them, then guess what? Love going to come back to you. Come on, but sometimes we what? We expect to get what we're not willing to give. Come on, been mean to your wife all week. They're going to go up in the bedroom talking about, hey, baby. Hey, sweetie. Hey, babe. And she slammed the door. Wow. Where was that guy all week? Come on. Our challenge is we want what we want, but sometimes we're not willing to give. Come on, we got to be willing to give if we want. Come on, that's all the test was with Simon. He's saying, are you willing to give this? Are you willing to make the sacrifice? Because sometimes it's a sacrifice. Come on, that's why the scripture says in Hebrew, we give the what? The sacrifice of praise. Come on, everybody don't come in here wanting to lift their hands and praise the Lord. Some people heavy. Some people grieving. Some people are challenged. But when we can get past that and give God the sacrifice of praise. Come on, can we just give God the sacrifice of praise? I may not feel like it, may not want to, ain't really in the right space, but it is a sacrifice. Come on, it is the sacrifice that God is after. It is the sacrifice. It's better than, it's the sacrifice that God is looking for. Come on, because sometimes we walk in obedience, but it is the sacrifice that we're giving to God. Amen? Come on, our obedience. Come on, Peter said, nevertheless, I will let down the net. Look at verse 6, new territory. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Hear this, church. You can put it, you can mark it in your Bible, turning point. He already had given his obedience. He made the sacrifice. And he put down the net. And then guess what he did? He caught a great. See, what I learned is Jesus, God knows where the fish are. Even if you don't. If you don't, he do. He know where the fish are. And he caught a what? A great catch. Why? Because he was obedient. And he did what the master said do. Come on. Sometimes that's our challenge. We want the great catch. We want to be prosperous. We want to be wealthy. But we want what? Do what he say do. You've been doing it your way all this time. You're still broke. You're still hurting. It still ain't working. And God been still talking because he care about your business. Come on, if it's just about your job, whether it's just about a business you had, whatever it is, God cares about your business. It was a turning point for Simon. It changed everything. This was the game changer. And that's where God wants to operate in our life. The things happen in our life that are what? Game changers. Come on, we illuminate it when it's something negative or when something don't go right. But what about when God bless you out your socks? Because you did what he say do. Because you was obedient in your spirit. You ain't just do it the way you thought it. You said, God, nevertheless, I will. Come on, it was a game changer for Simon. It was a turning point of his life. And many times we go mundane and we go through these obstacles of life because we never get to that place where we say, you know what, Lord, not my will, but come on, we say it, we know it, but do we do it?
Not my will, but thine will be done. Come on, our obedience. Come on, the scripture says they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So guess what happened? So then they had to signal to their partner. Somebody say, I'm in line, I'm in line. See, because when we get blessed, come on. Because when we get blessed, I'm just trying to figure out who believe it. Come on, sometimes we don't know that. Sometimes we think, I got to get my blessing and go with it. But that's not how God made it. When you get blessed, guess what? Come on, if we can really see it like that, it would change our church life. It would change us. Because when I get blessed, then guess what? You get blessed. It is amazing to me. People get blessed all the time. I done hit the number. Okay. Help me, Jesus. See what happens when we get close to 12:30? So guess what? So when you get blessed, what? Oh. Sometimes this is our biggest challenge, church. Not only did God break the yoke of barrenness over Simon's life, he said, everybody with you going to get blessed too. Yeah. Y'all will get it in a minute. See, but we haven't been programmed like that. We haven't been programmed like that. We've been programmed to get all we can and get all we get. And bring $100 to the church. Here you go. Here's $100. We'll take it. Don't get me wrong. We'll take the $100. Better than nothing. But really, when you get blessed, guess what? People around you should be getting blessed. Come on, that bothers me if I'm always getting blessed and things always good happening in my life and everybody around me broke like no joke. Something wrong. Because the same God that's blessing me should be blessing. Just because you're tired of me, you should be blessed. We should be blessed. You shouldn't be struggling. All we need to do is do what he say, do. Come on, that's all they did. Do what he say, do. Guess what? Then we all get blessed. Come on, the challenge is people don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do that. Come on, the early church, they shared everything. Sold their property. Gave up land. They said, here you go, because we're going to make sure that none suffer lack. Nobody. Come on, why? Because when we doing what God say, what? Everybody get blessed. Everybody get blessed. Come on, I ain't talking about, I'm going to give you a happy meal, or here's a dollar. No, I'm talking about, you're going to get blessed. That means you ain't got to come to church talking about, I don't know how I'm going to get gas money. But you ain't got to come to church saying, man, we got a high electric bill, I don't know how we're going to buy groceries. That never have to happen. That never have to happen. Because if we getting blessed, then you should be here. It should be overflow. Come on, because Simon made this decision to get beyond himself and to listen to God and resist his will and do the will of God, they caught a great catch. Come on, don't tell me God don't care about your business. Don't tell me God don't care about your well-being. Come on, he cares about us being spiritual. He wants you to speak in tongues. He wants you to do all these supernatural things spiritually, but he cares about your business too. Well, he know you don't live by wind pudding. What is it? What is it, y'all? Wind biscuits and air pudding. Amen. Got to be some meat on them bones. Amen. Oh, people complain, people have challenges, and people talk about do this and do that. I had to learn early on in business, everybody can't get a break. Some people can, and some people got to pay.
Earl back there saying, I don't know, pal. I don't know.
Some people got to pay. Because at the end of the month, I can't call you back and say, remember that break I gave you? I need it back. They're going to be like, what? What you talking about?
So they signal to the other partners in the boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Come on, that was a big catch. Come on. And then this is I'm going to close here. And when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because he almost made the wrong decision. See, and sometimes that's what just brings me to my knees. Because, man, I almost made the wrong decision. I thought I figured it out. I thought this was the way. I thought I was right. I almost made the wrong decision. And it's just only when God showed me by making the right decision how he's got me. Amen. How he's got me that woke me up. Saying, man, God, you got me. I ain't got to do it on my own. I ain't got to figure it out myself. You've got me. Come on. Peter fell to his knees and was repentant because he almost made the wrong choice. Come on. He got in touch with his humanity. And he told the Lord, you need to leave me because I'm a sinful man, oh Lord. He was astonished. For he and all who were with him were astonished. He was astonished because of the catch of fish. But I was astonished because of his obedience. Because he did what God said, do. And he didn't want to. And sometimes we don't want to. But I can tell you, this will be a turning point in your life. Where we can roll up everything we got. Every opinion I got. Every amount of intellect I think I got. And give it to God. And do what he say do. Guess what? He'll astonish you too. He'll astonish your life. He'll change your life. If you give him a chance. Come on, life is full of turning points. Some we make, but most he create. And he gives us the opportunity to make a choice. And it will change our life. Come on, they were astonished at the catch of fish. But I'm astonished that he made that choice. And look what God did. God wants to do that kind of stuff in our lives all the time. But sometimes we just not what? Obedient. We just don't have a nevertheless. Come on, sometimes it's just my way or the highway or there's no way if it ain't my way. And that's to our shame. Not to shame you, but to shame the devil and stop doing it. And allow God to have his way. Amen? Amen. Come on, they were astonished. Verse 10. And so also was James, John, the sons of Zebedee, who were what? Partners. Everybody's going to share in that blessing. Everybody's going to share in that blessing. And then Jesus goes on and says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You ain't got to worry about your business no more. Because your business now, because you're going to be obedient to me, is going to be my business. And we must be about our Father's business. Amen? Amen. Amen. The turning point in our lives.